Love, Gods and Sinners by Camille Chong. Read by Jackie Bardalang and Kaya Chan.
Valentine's Date. Heist. Raven. I spend Valentine's like any single person would, ignoring my ex-girlfriend and stealing from the rich. The heist begins at the wink of nightfall. I track the way color empties from the sky with the patience of a hunter who knows hijinks and devilry happen best when prey is asleep. Or, more specifically, when corporate offices are dark and deserted. Breaking in, at this point, comes almost as practice as my magic. I test my muscles with a couple of jumps, fight through the soreness of yesterday's training session, tug my black mask across my cheeks, over my chin, enchanted to hide my identity. Check the thin leather gloves that hide my fingerprints, load a playlist of Monoskin from a pirated music account.
Can you hear me?
Maria says in my intercoms for the fifth time tonight. As clear as the first time. I know she's only really doing it to get on my nerves. Dating someone through your childhood and breaking up the second you've matured does that to you. As I have the last three times she asked, I say nothing. Three steps running from a neighboring rooftop, buoyed by the enhanced strength from my fox descendancy, and I'm crashing through the building's 44th story window, landing silently on the carpeted floor with a roll. I can't hear past heavy guitar riffs, but my feet adopt practiced stealth over broken glass as I survey the empty office. Hold on. The office is not empty. A dour-faced CEO stares from his seat, frozen. Damn, 44. I pause my music. Should have come in on a different level. 44 is si shi si in Mandarin, where si sounds exactly like si. Death. Then written twice for extra bad luck. Si and si. Death and death. And now there's a man standing, or sitting, melted into a luxurious chair, between me and indiscriminate theft. Deep breaths, Raven. You were briefed on the heist yesterday. You knew it might not go smoothly. If you're careful about this, the Fox Elders will never have to know that their Fox leader in training encountered a hiccup. My mother raised an opportunist. I saved the 15 minutes I would have wasted rifling through the cupboards, my knife point supervising the CEO as he retrieves the roll of blueprints from a locked drawer by his desk. Under the CEO's scathing glare, I stuff the roll into my leggings and dig for my phone. Out of his view, I click on the recording app.
The police are coming, he says. You won't get away with this.
I'll get away like you did, bullying that employee. I cuff his wrist to the leg of his desk. You really thought I wouldn't hear about it?
I'm not scared of you liars and thieves, he seethes. I fired the fox freak in my company last year because she deserved it. Your entire clan is descended from the vixen spirits of deception, isn't it, scum? I strike him over the head. My chest burns with the vitriol in his voice. But there's no point defending foxes to asshole non-descendants. No point explaining our deity ancestors were masters of illusion, not deception. Fear drives the magicless more strongly than logic. And in the face of our powers, nothing scares the powerless population more than power they can't control. Discreetly, I end the recording on my phone, making a mental note to send it anonymously to the Department of Descendants for discriminatory employment practices. The governmental department that deals with magical descendants might be basic and barely developed, but there'll be someone who listens. Even if they don't, I'm already here to make reparations. Careful, Kevin Tan. I flatten the name under my tongue like an insult, relishing the fact that I've remembered it. Thank God for gratuitously detailing.